You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball.
Welcome to this episode of the U Talk podcast. As always, I'm Grant Bagby.
And I am Joe Silverzweig. We are coming to you from our various offices today. I'm afraid it's a remote recording, so apologies in advance for the not quite up to par sound quality, but we'll be back to the real deal as soon as we can.
Yes, so before we get started, sound quality, regardless, think of the quality of the content when you go and leave feedback. We could love some five-star reviews on iTunes and wherever you're listening to the podcast from. And if you're having issues on some new podcast provider that you want us to be in and we're not there, please let us know, utalk@gmail.com, or reach out to Joseph and I on Twitter, or even the show. We have a Twitter feed, UTalk Podcast. And then just before we get started, I want to let you guys know the fall is a really big deal in the landscape yard care time frame. Ute Daddy has been on lockdown on what you need to do. I'm really excited about my yard for this fall, planning on doing some overseeding. Hopefully that gives me that nice carpet of grass with less weeds in the coming year, but a critical time in the fall. If you aren't subscribing to Ute Daddy's process, go find him on Twitter and get on his Slack and different methods of getting out his process and what you should do, because fall is critical time. So just wanted to give that PSA and let you know the other thing. All right, so what are we talking about today? We're going to talk football. We're going to do our quick hitters first, talk about some of the other sports, let you know what's on the schedule, and then we're going football, football, football. We're going to get the hype train going, see where it's at. Then we're going to talk off offense today. Quarterbacks, offensive line, expectations for this offense in general. It's going to be a jam-packed show. So let's get right to it with the schedule review and quick hitters. So, Joseph, guess what? There is a new item on the schedule.
Oh, my goodness. That's so exciting. I feel like the last 6 to 8 shows, the schedule hasn't moved.
Yes. So let me just go over it. So there's Clemson soccer and then the red-white scrimmage in volleyball, August 24th.
And that's soccer. New, right?
That's the new item. All the right. Volleyball schedule's in here, people. So if you're a fan of the volleyball team, the schedule's in. Soccer against Alabama, and then the first football game of the year against Brigham Young at Rice-Eccles South.
Oh, I'm so excited. My little tummy is in knots. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man, I can't wait. Next week.
By the way, it's Jason Kelly days. It's 15. He wears number 15. It is 15 days to the game. So let's just all take some time to remember Jason Shelley's. Gosh, what was that? A 30-yard touchdown run to close out the game last year, where he was faster than that guy and smarter than that guy and stronger than that other guy and better than this fourth guy, and just made the whole Bayou defense look silly all the way to the end zone.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you for your service, Jason Shelley. We will not forget.
For sure. So, based on that, the other thing to note on the schedule, FanFest, Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m., Rice-Eccles. We're going to have the concessions open. You can park on the west side of the stadium for free. The main gate's going to be over there. They're going to have food trucks. Look, I've been to the FanFest. It's a lot of fun. I recommend.
It's pretty cool. They do a really nice job with it.
Yeah, and it's going to be – they're doing it rain or shine, so – go out there, support the student athletes, and get to meet them. And they have a bunch of stuff for the kids too. It's a great time. Just go have fun. So, other quick hitters to talk about. Not the Olympic sports. So first of all, I don't know if you guys knew this. There was a big national, I think it was the U.S. Nationals in gymnastics.
Or U.S. championships or something like that, but it was a major gymnastics, national gymnastics event, not international.
Yeah, and so there's a couple tidbits from that we'll point out. The first one being that Michaela Skinner finished eighth and got appointed to the U.S. Senior National Team, which is, you know, working along the goals that she has for making the Olympics. And then the other one is Grace McCollum, hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, finished third and is
bronze medalist.
Yep.
Yeah.
Projecting to be on the national team, and she's a Utah commit, so she will be performing with the Red Rocks in due time. So that's pretty exciting.
And that's third in a field which included Simone Biles. So among all humans, she placed second.
Simone Biles breaking
the mold, and it's like nobody's going to beat her ever. So congratulations to Grace. We're really excited to have her as part of the Red Rocks. She's going to be one of many great gymnasts, but perhaps the anchor for a few years. As they quest to return to national champion status, which is where they belong.
Yep. The other things of note, Utah soccer got picked to finish eighth in the Pac-12, and volleyball was picked to finish fifth in the Pac-12. So there's all of our Olympic sports coverage. If you needed to fast forward through it, I understand. But now it's time to talk about it.
So
first opportunity here. Of note, most everyone listening to the show should know this, but Bam Olesinski is here and practicing. The dude is like 6'8".
He is real, and he is spectacular, as they say. A little Seinfeld joke for you. he's great. They say he's probably not ready yet, which isn't surprising, but this is a question of when and how much he will play, not if. He's just an absolute freak of nature physically. Bigger, faster, stronger than, say, Garrett Bowles. Like, he's an amazing, just as an athlete. And so I think they'll get him ready, and he will be on the field sooner rather than later.
Oh, for sure. I mean, 6'8", 337, I mean, the dude is a monster, and it's a matter of when, not if. Right. So, yep. All right. The next quick hitter is the team in the equipment Twitter feed lit it up with the uniform they're going to be sporting in November for the game.
Love the new uniform. It is so, it's really different. I think people who are comparing it to Ohio State are onto something, but Utah was using this style back in the 40s. I mean, it's really a 40s style throwback uniform. I love it. It has Utah up on the shoulder pad. I just dig everything about this, his alternate uniform. It's going to be really fun, I think.
Yeah, and let's just be real. Everybody was using, Ohio State was like the template that everyone used. So it's like,
yes,
whatever. If, like, back in the beginnings, it was like Ohio State ran, like, it just doesn't surprise me at all that they just have this big brand name and they have an imprint across the country of impact. And so, look, sure, it looks like Ohio State, like whatever. Let's just own the fact that that's what happened, but respect the uniform. Like, it looks great. I like the white, the lettering, and having Utah Utes on the shoulders. It looks good. Be happy about it. Respect Ohio State. They're a big brand, and they had influence across uniforms. So recognize that. Let's not get all, I don't think anyone needs to get their panties in a bunch about the uniform being gray and red and looking like Ohio State, because that's just kind of history of college football, really.
Be interesting if we wear them to the Rose Bowl. Huh?
That would be interesting.
Sorry, I'm on the hype train is next. I'm on the hype train a little bit too early.
Well, let's slow your roll there. I found a national pundit that's not all that high on the Utes.
No, you didn't. You're making it up.
I did.
It was Jody Genesee.
No, Jody Genesee. Quick hitter.
Derek Stevenson.
No, no. Hey, here's a quick fit hitter for you in case you didn't see. Jody Genesee will be covering the Utes for the Deseret News.
Oh, yeah. So, congratulations. People are being weird about it, or whatever, man. I mean, he's
a professional. He'll be fine.
He's a professional. I also understand the people who are being weird about it. I mean, this dude is unabashedly a BYU fan on Twitter, so it's like...
What I thought, what made me laugh was his first article is a Utah Insider article. And, I mean, I'm confident he'll do a nice job on the Utah beat. He's a talented writer and a professional, and he's going to do a professional job with it. But he's not a Utah Insider. I mean... At all. He's less of a Utah insider than I am. And I'm not a Utah insider. So, yeah, I thought that was a little bit silly. But I welcome him to the Utah family, and I look forward to his fandom changing over the coming years as he realizes who the best team in the state of Utah is.
Yes, all in due time. But not him. It's a guy by the name of Pete Fiotuk or something like that. I found the article in USA Today. He has the Utes going 9-3, which is not a bad season, but the weird thing is he's like, and it's more likely they go 8-4. So, slow down the high train.
My odds for Utah going 8-4 are, well, keep talking. I'm gonna pull this up. Because I think that there have been some other national news that kind of run counter to this Debbie Downer, wherever he's from.
Peoria. I don't know.
probably no, a soccer fan. Pete Fytok, the soccer fan. So I think there's some good stories out there that I'd much rather talk about.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, it's just a good thing to know, right? Just someone else down there. Maybe it'll bring us down to earth a little bit, right? 8-4, guys. What do you think?
7%. I got the Utes with a 7% chance of going 8-4. 19% chance of 9-3. I don't think that's an unreasonable prediction. But 32% chance of 10-2. So much more likely to be up over 9-3 than to be under 9. I mean, vanishingly low for 8-4 is just ridiculous. It's just schedule. I mean, there just aren't that many good teams on the Utes schedule. I don't know where they're going to lose 4 games. I've got different news for you. I've got John Wilner and Brett McMurphy. Those are real national names. You've heard of those guys before.
Yeah, of course.
God, Pete. Soccer Pete. John Wilner put the Utes at 6th in his official AP poll. And Brett McMurphy, who, in addition to a lot of other things, does the ESPN bowl projections, which I think are actually very influential in terms of people's votes, ranked the Utes at 9th. So he's likely to have the Utes as a sort of Rose Bowl contender, early on in the season. I think that's going to really help pull their standing up because people look at those and, you know, other voters read those and are influenced by those.
No,
so
6
and 9, 2 top 10s, and then there's Soccer Pete.
Well, look, hey, don't let it slow down that hype train too much. So fetch the coal or diesel in the engine and fire it up. Let's just keep on training
a little
away
bit of bolt,
with all the hype.
Or a little plutonium in the engine.
All right, let's talk offense. So I'm pretty excited about the offense, and here's the funny thing is, like, we're used to the Utah defense, and we talked defense first. And I was super amped about the defense. And then I started researching for this offensive episode and deciding what my answers were going to be to breakout players and whatnot. And I think I'm more excited about this offense, especially with Ludwig at the helm with his – you know, last time he was here, the Utes had the top scoring offense in 2008 with 36.9 points per game. He's had running backs before, helped him. I mean, in Wisconsin, I found an article I was saying he had the best offense in Wisconsin history or recent history, and they are a running team. So it's like, just, I'm super excited about this offense. And so just let you guys know, this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk who we think the leader is in the position group where it's warranted, who the breakout player is, and what our biggest question mark is. And depending on the position, it might be a little different. And so here we go. We're going to start with quarterback, right? The leader, Joseph, is obviously the starting junior, Tyler Huntley.
Yeah,
right?
It's not a complicated question. Yeah, I mean, right. But my only thing, and I've talked about this a lot on the podcast and elsewhere, this is a guy that is not appreciated enough by Utes fans for just how good he is. And what you got to do is you got to go look at, like, the Washington game in 17, and a couple of his other highest-performing games, and realize that, I mean, the ceiling is the sky with this guy. And there's things that he can do that other Utah quarterbacks have never been able to do if he can put it together. I'm really excited. So an interesting sort of roster tidbit. He was listed at 6'1", 200 last year. Mm-hmm. And now he's listed at 6'1", 205. He looked like he's 6'1", 205, but he definitely was not 200 pounds last year. He's put on a lot of really good weight, which I'm hopeful will help him be a more resilient runner, and maybe he's really good at pressure in the pocket, but I think the weight is going to help him perform in a lot of ways. What about, that's a pretty easy question, right? What about, who are you watching with the unfortunate news that Cam Rising, is not going to be eligible to play this year? Who are you watching to kind of break out? Is there anybody you think might kind of bump past Shelley here?
Well, no, it's Tyler Huntley still. Like, honestly, he's like Roger Dangerfield. He's getting no respect. And so it's like, you see, has the opportunity to break down as well, because honestly, he hasn't played a full season yet. The great thing is he's no longer in an offense, or most likely not going to be in an offense anymore, that's going to be putting as much decision making as far as whether he runs the ball or Zach, or the plethora of running backs the Utes have. Whether they run the ball.
Of running backs.
We'll get to that later, guys. But nonetheless, he's going to be handing the ball, pitching the ball, throwing the ball to a running back or one of the very talented wide receivers on this team. And the question is, to me, of this and what will allow him to break out is, will he play the whole season? Is he going to be running the ball and taking too many hits? Because as much as you mentioned his weight, at the beginning of last year, they talked about how he had put on good weight, and he wasn't able to keep it on through the season. Is he going to be able to do that this year? I don't know. I don't think he will be able to, just based on the history of Tyler. Is it just he's not going to keep the weight on? So then the question is he protected? Is the offensive line protecting him? Is he running the ball a lot? Is he making right decisions? Like, Huntley has an opportunity to break out and be remembered. I mean, the hype train is going, right? This is an opportunity for him to be remembered like a Brian Johnson. Here's a mobile quarterback coming off some injuries. And if he runs this offense well, people will remember him in the highest regard if this season
this
is a really big success.
This is a jersey hang kind of year if he plays the way that he can play. I'm gonna go a little bit of different direction for my question mark, and I'm gonna say Andy Ludwig. I'm excited about Ludwig. I'm looking forward to it. I think he's going to be successful. I think the offense is going to be as good as it's ever been under Whittingham. But I am interested to see what changes, and particularly what changes with Huntley in regards to how he's utilized. And it's interesting listening to Ludwig's interviews. He's talking about running the read option with Brian Johnson, but it's not a real read option. It looks like a read option, but it's a read option with a set handoff to the running back. And I'm wondering to see kind of how that meshes and how Huntley's improvisational skills are part of what makes him a great quarterback, but how is that going to run into kind of the regimented approach to play that Ludwig has? It could be a great fit. It could be just right. It could there could be some bumpy spots early on. But that's my question mark. That's what I want you to see, is how Huntley and Ludwig kind of mesh together.
All right. So, any other points on the quarterback? Because I'm ready to talk offensive line.
My boy Drew List, he's good.
Oh, I always talk about your boy.
Just a little shout out for Drew.
Unfortunately for Drew, he's not getting out from behind Shelly. So
no, he's not. He shouldn't. But he's just a good kid. And I like him. That's all.
All right.
So O-line.
So who's the leader of the offensive line? I'm intrigued to see what your answer is to this.
This is an interesting question. I'm gonna pick somebody. Not even 100% sure he's going to start, but I think he's still the leader, is Paul Tuala. The mix in the guard center area to be that fifth or sixth guy. He's a senior on this team. He's got a ton of experience, really well integrated into the team, and just has a mindset that I think is going to be effective in terms of helping the team to gel and bringing everybody together. So I'm gonna go with the out on a limb just a little bit and say Paul Tuala.
Okay. I figured it's gotta be one of the seniors, and I was debating whether it's Paul Tuala or it's Darren Paulo. And to me, I went with Darren Paulo. He's a senior. He's gonna be playing. I think to be the leader, you gotta be on the field, and most likely you gotta be a starter. And Darren Paulo is going to be that. And so, I mean, the dude is a massive 6'5", 315. He's going to have a great season and hopefully be playing, you know, next year as well. So it's like, not for the youth, but playing next year in a higher league. I don't know what his prospects are, but I hope that for all of our seniors. But nonetheless, Darren Paulo, to me, is the leader of the offensive line.
That's fair. I don't really see anybody in the upper class on the O-line who's like a real NFL kind of guy. I would say Paulo's probably the closest. Ben Molisetti is an NFL kind of guy, and then the other ones are freshmen. Like Nick Ford is an NFL body, but we'll see how he develops. All right, but who's your breakout? I kind of named a couple of good options there on Ford and Olesetti. Is there somebody else you're looking at, or is it one of those two?
Yeah, I am going to say that my breakout's going to be Braden Daniels. I think
he's coming in, redshirt
freshman, 6'4", 300. He's projected as a starter right now. He's been playing with the ones. I mean, that's your breakout. If that isn't a breakout offensive lineman, I don't know what is.
All right. I'm going to deviate from those two guys, although I think either one of them would be a good choice. And I'm going to say Simi Moala. He's a redshirt freshman. He's a long thin guy. I think, we'll break into the rotation either through injuries or just through talent by the end of the year and have a real positive impact on the team. So Simi Moala is the guy that I'm watching there. Do you have any question marks about the O-line?
I do. Yeah, it's Bam, right? What's Bam going to do? That's the question to me, right? And maybe that's cheating, right? Maybe that's kind of a cheat answer because he's getting into camp late. He's not going to start. He's probably going to start the first few games. At least he's probably going to get some playing time, but not a ton because he's just not as far along as the other guys. But with the body and talent he has, how fast does he pick it up? How fast does he insert himself into that rotation? And does he take a starting spot by the beginning of conference play? Does he take a starting spot in the middle of the season? I'm not sure when that happens. That to me is the biggest question mark because Bam, I mean, he's very talented, huge body, definitely an NFL body like you mentioned. So how is he getting in there, and whose spot is he taking as well is also intriguing.
Yeah.
So that's my question mark.
Yeah. I'm interested in that, too, and I think that his performance may spell the difference for the Utes in a lot of ways between, you know, a 9-10-11 win season and a really, truly historic season in two ways. One, if he's able to play at a Garrett Bowles tackle level where he is just a clear premier tackle in the country by the end of the season, that that's going to, one, I mean, obviously make the offense run better. But I think the other thing that we need to remember is we can't have a lot of confidence in the durability of our quarterback right now. New weight or no new weight. He is a little bit injury prone. He is tend to get dinged up. So having perfect pass protection is critical. And having a fifth and a sixth and a seventh offensive lineman who can provide that is the key, right? So that it's not, you're not spelling guys on certain downs or certain series and leaving your quarterback exposed. So I'm seeing if he can reach that sort of highest level that he's projected to, that's what I'm watching for. So slightly different from your, like, when is he going to break out to just how big of a star is he going to be?
Yeah, no, I mean, so ultimately it's Bam. That's the question mark of the position group.
It's a good question, right? All of the answers to the question are good, but it's a question like how good is the answer going to be?
Yep. And I mean, see, here's the thing is as I look at the offensive line, I hear Witt talk about it and how they're looking for their like final solid starter and everything. Ultimately, like coming into this season, offensive line was probably the offensive position group I was worried about the most. But at this point, I don't know if it's, maybe it's unwise, but at this point, I'm less worried about offensive line. So.
Okay.
But, alright, so, let's move on to the next one. Let's talk wide receivers with the throw-in at tight end. Who is your leader of the wide receivers?
Oh, this is a tough question, man. I think I've got to say it's got to be Britton Covey. I mean, he really seems to have captured the attention of the team as a leader and as somebody they look up to and respect. He's not the oldest guy on the team. He's not the biggest guy on the team, certainly, but he's captured something and I think helped to define the relentlessness and the commitment to detail that has made this receiver group much better than any that we've had previously. And I mean, there's a lot more talent here and they're playing to that talent a lot better than they ever have before. And I think we can thank Covey along with a number of other athletes in this unit for that development.
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of years, we really the wide receiver group has really been dependent on a big transfer coming in, right? This is the first year where it's not the big transfer that's coming in as much as Brayton Covey's been on the team. He's a junior. Solomon Ennis, that had a great year last year, he's coming back. You know, Damari Simpkins is a senior. Here he is in his final hoorah. So it's like, to me, I'm with you though. Like, if you're looking for the emotional leader of the wide receiver group, Brayton Covey. He just projects himself that way. He was the leader last year. I mean, the kid is tough as nails. It's just, he's the leader. I'm intrigued to see, and I'll throw this question at you, who's gonna be the, like, statistical leader of this group? Like, who's gonna get the targets and the yards and everything that says, oh, well, he was the best wide receiver?
It's such a tough question to answer because we haven't seen the offense yet, and we don't really have a sense of what that's going to be. If I were just to venture a guess, I'm going to go with, and he's also my breakout, I'm going to go with Jalen Dixon. Jalen Dixon is a serious deep threat. He has the ability to create separation on go and post routes that nobody else on this team has, and we see him downfield open all the time. And I think that Huntley is going to find him multiple times. And what most of our receivers aren't able to do is that kind of home run. And so I think Dixon is the guy who's going to wind up at the end of the season with three or four or five 40-plus yard bombs, either for a touchdown or for really long yardage. And that's, statistically, that's the way that you kind of stand out as a receiver. It's not by being a possession receiver, although that's really, really valuable to a team, but the way that you break out statistically is through explosive 40-plus yard passing plays, and I think that's Dixon's role, and I think he's going to excel at it.
Yeah, and I mean, Whittingham even said the other day how big of a downfield threat Dixon is showing himself as in camp and in the scrimmage, and so that's not a bad take at all. As far as my breakout player, I'm going to go, and it's not a surprise at any means, but I think it's going to be Solomon. I just think he's going to be the guy who probably gets the most touchdowns, honestly, because we're going to throw it up to Ennis. He's going to be the one that when the ball needs to be caught, it's, you know, probably Ennis that'll get targeted the most, in my opinion, and he's a sophomore. If that's not, to me, that's why it's a breakout. He showed all this and his ability last year, but this year is the year he will break out and be that number one wide receiver as much as, and part of that will be because Dixon's going to open it up enough that, because he's such a deep threat. And then you add Covey and Nacua, like, this is a pretty darn good wide receiver group that's really exciting. I can't wait to play. I feel like this is where the other part of the running back group comes to play, is because the play action pass is going to be so deadly this year.
And we finally have an offensive coordinator who will just go to that well. Like that, that's the kind of guy Ludwig is, right? He's gonna punch it up the gut three times and then a play action pass, which I think is what Utah fans have always wanted to see. It's just a question of if it can work. And the problem in the past with the play action pass is that you could man cover Tim Patrick and he's not going to get open 60 yards downfield, right? The number one guy isn't going to be able to break out in a man situation, which is what the play action gives you. Right, because you've got your cornerback who's following the wide receiver down the sideline, say, if they're running a go route, and then the play action pulls the safety off of that play. That's the purpose of the play action, is to pull the safety off, so you've got a one-on-one matchup on the outside with your wide receiver. If he's not open, the best that you can get out of that is the Tim Patrick special, the 15 yards on a pass interference penalty, which is great as a first down, but it's not necessarily enough to warrant the risk. Whereas Jalen Dixon, Solomon Ennis, Samson Ekwa to a lesser extent, Demaryius Simpkins to a lesser extent, and then we're excited to see what some of these other young guys we don't know as well can do. They can get open down there and be wide open for an accurate pass from Huntley for a score or 30 plus yards, and that's what makes that work. So I think Ennis is a good pick. He frustrated me last year because I never felt like he quite put it together. I felt like he had so much talent and so many opportunities, and there were several moments where it was like, oh man, if you had just been one step quicker or turned around one second sooner, that would have been a huge, huge play. And they didn't quite happen. But with age and experience, I certainly think that it's possible that he'll take that next step. So I think that's a good pick.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, is the play action pass isn't just that long bomb. My personal favorite play in the red zone is the play action pass to the tight end. And these tight ends are really good. We haven't talked about them much, but you got Keithy, you've got, Fotheringham. So it's like, we've got some really good tight ends, and those guys, they can do their blocking share, but those guys can definitely catch the ball. And a play action pass in the red zone to a tight end is a thing of beauty, and it never happens at Utah. And I feel like this is the year that I might just get what I want.
Oh, we finally got him. Yeah, I mean, Bapa Falamaka is more of a lineman, but yeah, you got Cole Fotheringham, Brant Kwesi are both really, really good, proven. I think if there had been only one or the other of them on the team last year, they would have been in the freshman All-American conversation. I think they sort of stole touches from each other, which is a good thing, not a bad thing for the team, but kind of limited their ability to perform. And then, of course, the other guy that we're watching is Thomas Yasmin, because his talent level is so high. We're still waiting. We're still waiting to see if anything's going to come of that. Tight end is a really, really difficult position to play. You have to know how to do a lot of things that Yasmin has never done before. What about question mark? Or are you going to just say tight ends for your question mark?
No, I mean, I think tight ends aren't a question mark in my mind. I mean, with the two guys at the top, like, that's just not. My question, I guess, would be, are we going to see the breakout that we're excited about, right? That's the question. Are we going to see, is Dixon going to develop? Is Ennett, like, our two breakout players, like, are we actually going to see that? Because we're going to lose, this is a pretty young squad. We need to get that breakout talent to come out, right? Right now, the only seniors is Damari Simpkins and Tyrone Young-Smith, but of the people who are going to be the most on the field the most, they're mostly sophomores and juniors, and so it's who's going to have the breakout season to be the guy going into to our most of this season or the rest of this or next year even. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I'm gonna answer the question and dig really, really, really deep down the depth chart to a preferred walk-on. Devon Vele is a returned missionary. He's out of Rancho Bernardo High School in California, very lightly recruited player. So he left on his mission and then came back. And he's buzzing. Everybody is just buzzing. They say he's making plays and doing what he needs to do. People are really, really excited about him. Who the heck knows, right? But I'm reading about this guy, and so I go to look him up, and he's 6'4", 207 at 18 years old. So this is a real deal, you know, Pac-12 wide receiver in terms of his frame. And if he's impressing people with his play as well, it's just a name. It's just somebody to watch. I'm not naming him as a breakout star. There's a lot of depth to this position. It's just interesting, and I want people to know who he is.
Yeah, it's a question mark, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So now to the probably most stacked position group with an NFL player at the top.
I am looking down this list on the roster. It is just unreal. It is just unreal.
Unreal, man. The running back position. It is crazy. So let me take the easy one. The leader is Zach Moss.
Yes.
No
question. The undisputed leader of the running backs, the undisputed leader of the offense, and I think the undisputed leader of the team. I mean, the team runs through Zach Moss.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. And the fact is, the dude could have been drafted last year, and between him and I and everybody, they all came back because they have unfinished business, and so clearly they want to finish that. And Zach Moss is one of the leaders of that, of the team. And he'll be the leader of this position group. So I don't think there's much to be said there. So who's the breakout player going to be for you of the rest of the running
back? Hard just because it's going to be so difficult for one or the other of these guys to separate, right? I mean, you've got Brumfeld, you've got DHC, everybody's talking about Jordan Wilmore. Those are all really, really high level players. I haven't heard a lot about PJ Green, but Michael Bernard's a heck of a player. Gosh, it's just really hard. I'm gonna say Wilmore. I think that if the other guys had been as impressive as we hoped they would be, they would have earned more time before Zach Moss went down. And I think the way that he totally dominated the carry, not that they're bad, not that they are not competent running backs, but that if you're wondering who's that next level, who's the next Zach Moss, right, it's probably not one of those guys who were already on the team last year. Wilmore has been building a lot of buzz, a lot of energy, direct comparisons to Zach Moss. And that's going to be my pick for breakout star. I wonder if he's not going to scooch on past some of the more well-known names that we've got there in DHC and Brumfeld and TJ Green.
So I got 2 points. One, so my breakout is, and this is just for the sake of, the dude cannot have worse luck than he's had on the youth. And that's Devontae Henry Cole. I mean, he was going to get a shot.
I got hurt so hard, man. Yeah.
And I want the kid to succeed. I hope he breaks out this year. He's getting a little bit more talk than TJ Green and Brumfield and stuff as far as seeming like he's the backup, outside of Jordan Wilmore. And here's my problem with the Jordan Wilmore is I'm kind of like, I don't know, I'm testing the waters, you know, I'm putting my toe in the water of whether I want to jump in the hype, the pool of Kool-Aid for Jordan Wilmore, just because
there's so much Kool-Aid out there right now. You get to be a connoisseur.
Yeah, so it's like, is all the talk by the coaching staff and Whittingham especially, like, legit, or is this like, hey, are we overcorrecting a little bit because we didn't talk about Tuttle at all last year? He was always just the considering of the backup, and then he transferred. Wilmore's a pretty heavily recruited kid, came here. Is the coaching staff saying, look, we got to make sure this kid feels involved and included, and so let's talk about Wilmore a lot, but in reality, it's going to be these more experienced players designed behind Zach Moss, like DHC, TJ Green, and Devin Brumfield.
That is an interesting conspiracy theory, and if I put my tinfoil hat on, I can see it. I just don't think that Witt plays those games, though. I think that he's not going to talk. He's not going to blow smoke up somebody's ass. You know, pardon my French. He's going to tell it like it is, and if they transfer, it's because they weren't good enough to play, and that's okay. It just needs more room for the next kid.
You know, as I tend to agree with you, but there just seems to be a lot more smoke than I think we've ever seen out of a camp for a freshman. I mean, for example, Jalen Johnson comes in and takes the starting spot at corner as his freshman year. And true freshman, he was not talked about that much coming in. Like, he was not talked about nearly as much as Jordan Wilmore's thing. And the kid's been the lockdown corner since he was a true freshman, and this will be his last. If everything goes well, as it should, this will be his last year as a U. So it's just, I don't know, it seems fishy. But typically the phrase is where there's smoke, there's fire. So we'll see. I don't know, but
it's a fair question to raise.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk special teams. Shall we? Just real quick. So I feel like we both agree that the punter position another Aussie kicker. Fill him in, give him the Punter of the Year award, and enjoy
it. Did you see Mitch Wisch is a household name in Tampa Bay because he's just killing the thing out there. And I think Mitch is a high bar to set for Lennon, but I think if you want to expect like a Tom Hackett-esque performance, I think that's a reasonable projection for him. I mean, Wisnowski was an all-time great. Great punter, and that's why he's being so successful so quickly in the NFL. It was a fourth round draft pick, for goodness sake. But, yeah, I think Ben Lennon, just no worries, right? No worries, mate, as they say. sorry. I apologize to the entire country of Australia for that. question mark. I'm going to say returner. Not because I don't know who's going to be good. I mean, I know Britton Covey is a great punt returner and kick returner. What I wonder is, are they going to be able to find somebody else to take that role on? Because Covey is just an extraordinarily valuable football player, and he should be on the field every single play, and he should not be getting his head knocked off by, you know, some third string defensive back out to make a name for himself. And there's a lot of talent out there.
If Covey would fair catch it, he wouldn't lose his head.
That's true, but he's not going to do that. He doesn't have that mindset. I'd like to see somebody emerge. Derek Vickers is a great option because he's a fast guy. He hasn't been super successful as a wide receiver. But I think could be really effective in the open field as a punt returner. And then there's Terrell Perriman if he's not able to quite crack the wide receiver roster and the wide receiver rotation, as it were.
So I like those guys a lot, and then maybe some of these running backs who aren't getting as much play might be interesting to see what they can do. But I'd like to see somebody kind of take it over from Covey, and not necessarily be as good as Covey is or as electric as Covey is, but be good enough that they feel like we'll get more out of Covey in other places and we want to keep them safe.
No, and I think that's I agree with that. It'd be nice for them to protect Covey a little bit from it. The dude just does not know how to fair catch, and so he puts himself at risk a little too much. But I'm with you. I think Vickers would be a great fit for that. He's a dynamic speed athlete.
Catching that ball is hard.
It is hard.
Try it sometime. Have somebody just toss a football up in the air and try and catch it out of the air like that. It is really difficult, and you won't have some, you know, lunatic barreling down on you at 22 miles an hour. So,
for real.
So it's a little easier to do in your backyard, but it's still difficult. It's just a very challenging task.
And that's why Covey's good at it, right? He's a sure catch, and he's got the moxie to where that linebacker flying down the field to come take you out isn't as intimidating to him. And that might be the thing, right? And that's fine. But if the kid could just learn to, like, raise his hand and take a catch every once in a while, I'd really appreciate it.
Read the coverage a little bit. All right.
So the kicker situation, which I think is the real question mark in the sense,
I'm not
worried about returning. Someone will do it. Someone will catch the ball. Hopefully someone will learn how to take a fair catch. It's fine. But the kicker situation is a pretty big deal when Winningham is a little bit more conservative than others and the Utah kicker gets used quite a bit. So it's like, what are we going to do with that situation? I mean, last thing I saw was there are three of them. They're all kind of hitting around 70%, and Gay was at about 68% about this time last year.
That has changed up this morning.
During
this practice, the kicking competition was whittled down to Andrew Strutch and Nils Holtum. I don't know anything about either of those guys, but we are down to two now. And the question is which one of them will take over. And I think the thing to remember here is Matt Gay was not Utah's place kicker at the beginning of the season. You guys remember, I can't remember the kid's name now, right? That's how fast they fall out of your memory.
Was it Jaden Christensen or something along those lines?
One of these names, right? And so he missed a kick in the first game. Yep. And then they rolled Gay out there and he hit like a 41 yarder. And that was it.
Yep.
That was it. Yep. It was done. It had been decided, and the dude just didn't miss a kick for the rest of the year, and now he's in the NFL. And people were like, oh my gosh, this dude has a cannon on him. It's like, am I concerned about it? Is it a question mark? Yes. Is it going to cost the Utes some points in the games? Probably yes. It will cost the Utes some points in their games. But how many and how much certainty do we have about that? I'm just going to let it go. I'm going to wait and see. And the good news is, as important as they are, if your offense is good, they're less important.
Yep. Right?
If you're scoring touchdowns, having a kicker like Matt Gay who can drill a 65-yard field goal is not as important. Even if you're not scoring touchdowns, if you're kicking from 20 and 30 yards out, it's much, much easier. So my hope is that we will say, kicker who, we're scoring touchdowns. That's the objective. And maybe change the mentality a little bit. I wonder if I know that the level of performance from Utah's place kickers has been a crutch, I think, definitely for Winningham and the offensive coordinators, and I think for the players too. I think they get to like 35 yards out and they're like, all right, well, we got a field goal, let's take it easy, let's be careful, let's not turn the ball over. Now maybe you say, we got to get closer at least. We got to score a touchdown, and you don't see that change that you would sometimes see in the strategy or approach. So I don't know. Maybe there's a silver lining to having a less glorious kicker situation this year.
Yeah. No, I actually like that idea a lot. It'd be nice to force Winningham and Ludwig to be a little bit more aggressive because they don't want to put it in the trusting the feet of the kicker to put it through the pipes. So far away. It'd be really nice, actually. All right. Well, there you have it. We've gone through all the position groups on the offense. I am personally quite excited. To me, it looks like a really balanced offense that can allow everyone to succeed. It's just about the play calling, and we'll see how Ludwig will do. I mean, the dude scored a ton of points when he was here in 2008 with the Sugar Bowl team. He's been doing a good job since. So now let's see what he does now that he's back in Utah. I think that might be the overarching question mark is, will this be the final OC hire of Whittingham's career at Utah? I sure hope so.
All right. I think it's an exciting time to be a U fan. I can't wait for next week, and I really can't wait for the week after that. I'm so looking forward to it.
All right. Well, until next time, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to UTalk. Brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter at UTalk Podcast or email at UTalk@gmail.com.